The Press Box is here to catch you up on the latest media stories. Hosted by Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker, these guys have the insight on the biggest stories you care about. Check out The Press Box on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So I got left out because obviously I got booked in the semi-final against PSG for the Cup Winners' Cup, and this is one of my, like, George Graham, because this is where I'm kind of afraid of him. But then when someone brings heat to you, you give them it back. And I remember I went in and I was like, swearing. I was like, geez. And I was like this. And George Graham said, sat down, you f***ing crazy. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And the thing about it is because what do you say to that? Because then you got Lee Dixon and Tony Adams. They seem, they're all coming over kind of to hug you and like go, okay, right. Right. You know, and I was like crying like this. You know the lip cry?
The deep bass crying from your tummy.
You know those cries where you start speaking in tongues.
Not funny, man.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House on Ringer FC. Hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to talk about AFCON, winter break, some striker chat and a bit on Watford, the Barclays WSL, and we're going to give out some flowers as well. And my guests today are Jeanette Kwashi and Mr. Mayowa Quadri.
Oh, love that. Love
What's
that.
What's happening, man?
Ghana and Nigeria good, in the everyone. House. Look at my brother in arms.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm starting. Yeah, no, but I'm starting.
Honestly.
Ian, because famously. I was absolutely devastated about the way Nigeria were talking about Ghana. I was shocked. And I was also, I came in the group chat, and I'm sorry I'm starting like this because I have to get it off my chest. I'm still very pained. And I said, we need to get Mayowa out of the group chat.
Wow, you went really.
He was going so really hard on social. Yeah. And this is he's my little bro, like, for life. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, right, this is all different now. I'm seeing him in a different light now. Look at you, Mayowa, you're even laughing. Wow, okay.
It's because it's how everything came to be. That is just, you couldn't write this AFCON up. But like, for the last few months, everyone's been talking this and it's going to be the best AFCON ever. Mm. You guys not ready for it. It's going to be amazing. I did not expect for Ghana to come to AFCON to behave like that. They didn't even behave, they misbehaved. A lot of bluffing.
Okay.
And then Nigeria as well. I had a few conversations behind closed doors and I told people, I said, listen, this is all going too well. Like, I'm a Nigerian and we have this sort of tendency that when it's time to become serious, we're not very serious people. So when Tunisia turn up with 12 COVID cases, and Jeanette, you can probably testify to this because you've probably seen it. It's like, when it's time to, you know, do what you need to do, there's going to be a bit of misbehaving. Yeah. And that's what happened. Nigeria misbehaved.
They did.
Two West African giants out.
And we're done. And that's the tournament's done now. I'm sorry. When you take out the two when you take out Ghana and Nigeria, the vibes are done. The vibes are actually done.
But guys, we have to mention the terrible news, man.
Yeah. Yes,
we do, yeah.
The stampede. We can only pray for them, man.
Yeah.
Mm. It's hard. Really, really sad.
This is probably something that they're going to, it's going to overshadow some unbelievable stuff up to this point. But we have to pray for them people.
Definitely. Really sad. We're praying for them. Think the thoughts.
But like, you know, I've got to say, I think I saw yesterday, put in a group, the best strike I think I've seen from a dead ball from that far. And when you looked at the ball, in the ball didn't move. It was hit. And it's what, you know, when people say stayed hit, mm-hmm. because there was no roll or no, the ball wasn't doing no circular motion. It was hit. That's why the goalkeeper was saying, nah, he's going, the goal can't move, because that guy hit that with everything.
Yeah. Changoma, like he's got a record. He's known for letting it go from this.
Talk to me about Imaiwa, because I didn't like, I saw that and I thought, hold on a minute. Like where, how has that even come from? That was outstanding.
No, he's known for scoring free kicks, but it's just a technique because there's no backlift. He just hits it just stays hit.
Absolutely pounded. It's pounded crazy. Yam. That's why he done it. He's been eating pounded yam there.
Oh my gosh.
It was unbelievable. You know something? Watching the goalkeeper, right? In the game, you know, I'm watching the game. I'm very nervous for him because you know that this guy is an outfield player in goal. And you see it, and you can see it with Bubakar's goal. The man put his arms behind his back, bro, like he's a defender guarding the penalty.
Confusion, like, though, isn't it? They man, let confused. Yeah. But how hard
some
it
of those
is
saves,
just
though.
To slip it? Yeah, really, really good. Yeah.
Some of those saves, I was like, because I have to be honest, like this, you know, I've been doing a lot of social commentary of this AFCON. And
yeah, we know.
When the quote came out and they said, we've seen someone in training who has shown. I was like, what sort of trial did you guys do mid-session? Like, did you like make everyone do penalty shootouts? How was this guy selected? What unique skill set did he show that
he
was
the
keeper?
Did he have to kind of maybe put himself forward and say, okay, I'm going to...
They must have done some form of...
I'm going
to
try.
They must have done some form of something to... Because let's face it, some of the saves he made, you know, of course they look unorthodox, how he's saying, he's not a goalkeeper, but he made some very, very good saves.
He saved like a defender would save, right? So yeah. if you're on the line and you can see your goalkeeper's in trouble, you save like how you'd save as a defender. With your hands behind your back. Oh my God.
Their second goal, that's not meant to, he's not meant to go that far and be able to do that skill to score from there. And this is where, if a goalkeeper was there, he's already smothering him. Went to the ball, because the ball through to him, Bubakar was a fantastic pass, but the goalkeeper would have been at least on his way, because the man was a yard out when he scored.
But right, I wanted to ask you something.
He had the time to do a step over.
I wanted to ask you something, right? So I was watching Chipper Moting very closely in that game. Yeah. And obviously, it's similar to the Nigeria game where you know you're playing weak in opposition. Mm-hmm. And for some weird reason, it becomes harder. Like I saw there was chances where Chipper Moting was like, I know that if I put the ball in the corner, he can't save it. And he was trying so hard to stare it into the corner. Like, have you ever felt something like that where you're facing a team or like opposition defender that you know it's not up to level, but for some weird reason, you know that you have to do something specific to get past them?
Well, you know what? The thing about it is you say you have to do something specific, Mayo, but what you need to do is just because you're of a different level to them, it's like, how can I put it? I remember when I was younger, I was playing against a table tennis coach. And he used to beat me all the time, no problem. I was getting better and better. And I say, how come you just beat me, no problem all the time? He says, because I know I'm good and I do the basics. And I continue to do the basics well. And at some stage, it's going to probably cause you a problem because you're going to continue to try something else.
Yeah, you're going to get frustrated.
Exactly. You're not quite at the level. So you're going to probably not be in the right position. And the same with when we play, like when we play an FA Cup game against a lower league team. And you hear people say, listen, we just got to be professional. Where, you know, people don't like to say we're better than them because they say, oh, look at them saying they're better. When they are fucking better than them. So you're better than them and you say, we are a better, you know, we're a better standard. We're where we are because we're good enough to be there and they're where they are because that's where they are. So your quality and your professionalism and your training, what you're doing every day should, no matter how much they train and how hard they're working, your quality should come through at some stage in the game. And so what you got to do is, like people always say, see them off. Yeah. See off that initial stuff, what we didn't do, something like Forrest. Mm. And we'll talk about strikers and taking chances at some stage later on, but you have to then wait for the opportunity to then let the quality and the class come through. And then you have to do the basics properly, and then that's how you beat them. It's not like you have to do more like I've got to do skills, Neymar skill to beat them. You don't. And that's why they're at the level that they're at. And you're
you could
playing
see
for
the frustration. It was like,
yeah,
these guys have 10 men.
Yeah,
they have a left back and goal.
And we can't, we can't scoring? Break them down. Yeah.
Because they're also, trying too hard.
They're trying too hard. But then also the team that's the underdog or the team that's a disadvantage, they are completely playing like they've got nothing to lose. So the level, they step up 10% because they're like, right, we need to psychologically, let's just get into this the best we can, because actually we're 10 men down. When did he get sent off? Like,
very, very early.
So all of a sudden, but it's similar to what happened to Arsenal the other day against Liverpool. All of a sudden now you're like, right, I have to be able to hold on. So what are we going to do? How are we going to change this up? And you get your extra 10%. I think you just step up a level.
That sending off as well, you can see that that's not intentional. I don't believe he should be sent off for that. You know, people say, yeah, well, you could see the way that he was running and his feet got caught up. He caught him on the back of the ankle, but you think to yourself, that is not somebody who's out of control of his body lunging to try and do a last gasp tackle to stop something. And I think to myself, fuck, come on, man. Just look at that and say, you know what? That's a yeller. That's a yeller. Because when it looks worse in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
But even in slow motion, yes, he's caught the back of him, but is it a sending off?
No.
The game changes. It spoils the game.
Like they needed any more hindrance?
Yeah, no, they're all right, man. They got a left back in goal.
Now, I'm not saying that. Oh, because they've got a left back in goal. Oh, you know, don't send their player off. Yes, if he does a challenge and it's a challenge that is worthy of being sent off, of course you send him off. But for me, that instant, come on, man, you got to think.
Do you know, I can never be a ref.
Send him off for that.
Because I'd be thinking exactly that. Oh, they got a left back in goal. Let's give him a little chance. That would be me.
See? And it's a good job. It's a good job.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
I was watching Newcastle and Leeds, right? And then before, like, obviously, because the winter break, this is what I'm going into, the winter break, and obviously we didn't get one. But I was watching the game and they talked about Newcastle are going for their winter break after this game. And I just remember knowing that there was games where we were playing, I knew that after the game, the next day we're flying out, and I was so happy, right? So, because as well, sometimes you just want to get away, man. You just want to be away with the guys.
Listen,
when you have to win, like Newcastle had to win, and then they beat Leeds, then the next day, bro, it's like heaven.
Yeah, I bet.
It's like heaven because all that time, remember, gone. You're winning that game. If you lose that game, you've got all that time.
Oh, stress.
You're out there stressing, training in this lovely weather, stress, but you're coming back thinking, oh my God, we need to get something. Yeah. Whereas now, Newcastle are now thinking, yes, man.
Nice.
In the sun with 3 points.
So hold, it's, do you, like, sometimes when you look at it, winter break, you can see sometimes the players already on the beach, like in their mind. You can see how they're playing the day before they fly out. They're like, yeah, they've checked out already. Checked out and checked in.
You know, sorry, the way Newcastle played, it's like man said, listen, there's something waiting for you when you get there.
Something sweet.
They got told, you're listen, if this doesn't go right, the laps in the heat, nobody wants it. They said, you know what, let's go there to relax. But it's so funny because I find like destinations that players go to so interesting. Like you can tell that the Chelsea boys here are really going for it because straight away I see Rudiger going to Sierra Leone. I see Cho going to Ghana. It's that they need to touch the soil to receive fresh anointing.
He's gone.
But when they come back,
he didn't waste no time. He sat on that plane, took the picture, and man's going back to Ghana. Bang. I was like, rah.
It's like, listen, I need to see family. I need to touch soil. I need my soul to be replenished. And then we come back for the tough season, you know, second half season to come in. Because like you can tell if you're in a good place, you know, some people going to, you know, Tenerife, was it Marbella, you know, enjoyment. Yes. But when it's crunch time like this, you've got to go to the spiritual places, you know, to take
I would have loved to have had the winter breaks because if you're doing badly or if you're doing well, you get time with the guys in a different kind of, in a different environment, and that where something happens. And I'm really, really excited to see what happens with a Newcastle when they come back and those teams. And people say, oh, here they go, flying off. Oh, look at them flying off. They're so lucky. The fact is, you get such a rejuvenating vibe by going and being with the guys, doing stuff, swimming, just chilling with the guys and being able to sit and just chat. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's amazing what it can do for them. And like I was saying, I thought that it was going to be, who did I say was going to go down? I think I said Norwich, I said Burnley, and I think I said Newcastle, you know. But now I think Watford.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think Newcastle have got something going on. And I watched Burnley the other day, and it's going to be tough for people to beat Burnley. But like, can Burnley score? But other than that, I feel like, boy, Newcastle are going to get on some form of, they're going to make it.
You think
I feel
so?
Like they're going to make it. Yeah, I think they're going to make it.
So that
this
you
winter
think
break, the winter break's good. Yeah, the winter break's good for them. It came at the perfect time for them.
Refresh them. Same with Burnley, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? Like, Burnley, you're right. I don't think people are going to beat them.
Well,
yeah, they've got so... Yeah. Like, do you know they've only played like 8 games since like, I don't even know, like November or something crazy. They have got so many games in hand. And Sean Dyche, he's like Teflon. You know what I mean? Every time you look, you're thinking, oh, are Burnley going to make it? And then, you know, they turn it around in the second half of the season. Yeah, so...
With the winter break, what I've loved, and I don't know if it was a massive thing back then, is people at Lingard and Russia, where they get that small break, the first thing they're doing is private training in the heat. Mm. It's none of this, it's not even relaxed time. It's like, I'm going away and I'm betting myself. And you see a lot with the young pros now, like when you were playing, was that like a thing where people go into specific trainers and saying, you know what, I'm getting myself ready? Or people just going...
No, because you know what? I think it's just the way that the guys are now. You see them even when the season's over, they're still posting stuff where they're at work, still a grind, doing it, man. No, it doesn't stop. Work don't stop. No chance if I'm going, bro. I'm not doing that.
No days off.
No days off.
The grind's the grind. I'm going
off season. Off season.
Off season, man. No off season for me.
But work harder than your enemies. Bro, he's chasing you. Just take two weeks off. Rest
work when your enemies are sleeping.
You lot, stop it, please.
All that business. That's the thing though, Jeanette. Work when your enemies are sleeping.
It's true. It's true.
But the thing is that you need, I think, then, man, you do need to be able to go, bam, no, let me stop. Because when I start, I'm going to go again. But when do you get the time where you say, right, I'm not doing anything, instead of sitting there feeling guilty about, my man's working. I should be working. You know what I mean? You should just like take the time to relax. If I'm Marcus now, if I'm Jesse, I know that Jesse's got so much going to be going on with him. Marcus, we've seen what's happened with Marcus. So please, that those two. You see how fickle everything is. Man scores two goals, he's back. You know, Jesse, I understand he's got to get himself into a situation where he's got to be ready at any time. Bam, it can happen for him. Maybe not this month, but I just feel that sometimes as well, you just need to just go, bam, and let me switch it off and just relax,
chill,
man.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go hard when I go hard again. I wouldn't do that, Mayo. It's simply because that's what they're taking you out there to get some kind of like break and relaxation. Then they're going to train you anyway if you're going with a team. You know, because it's a winter break, people are going obviously on their own to their different places. Then just go and be. Just be for a bit. You know, we're talking about 3-4 days.
Yeah.
What are you going to do in 3-4 days that's going to make you feel like I'm behind?
I think it's because of social media.
I'm losing it.
It's true.
I think it's because of social media. I think it's because there's this sort of, in the back of your head, you know, people already think I'm already overpaid as a professional and they think, and if I go on a little break, even though I'm supposed to be on a break, this is my annual leave.
Yeah,
and I take one picture by the beach, they're going to say, I don't care about the club. The club's about to get relegated. I'm here with a margarita.
I'm here with a margarita, man.
It's
I don't
true.
Care.
It's true.
But the thing is, you don't need to. It's like some Club of Lang business they're on. Bro.
Yeah,
Mr.
I was just
T.
about to say the Club of Lang
some
thing.
Club
just,
of Lang. Shut up, fool. You don't know where I'm coming from.
Switch off, fam. It's all right. You're
off.
All right. And calm down.
It's like, it's funny because I was only watched that the other day with a. Club of Lang.
That's my favourite Rocky, you know, Rocky 3.
Where he's
100%.
Working, that's what, you see, that Mayo has brought that up. That's what that's remind me of.
Yeah.
Like the Mr. T, and you're thinking to yourself, Jesus Christ, that man needs to chill.
Listen.
But like, the guys are doing literally that. They're not relaxing because You can see the goal. You see what the goal is. You know what it is. But you still need a break in on the journey.
And don't underestimate what that break can do. I think that's the main thing as well. Like that, like you say, that refresh, it can make such a massive difference if you're just still for like 3 days.
Arsene Wenger, exactly. That can just, Arsene Wenger used to say, I remember like, you know, when we go to the hotel because we got the game in the evening or we got, he used to say, listen, you don't have to sleep when you're going to bed, just lie and rest.
Yeah.
You don't need to like, physically goes to sleep like, oh my God, I didn't sleep, man. I'm not going to be able to. You just go in the bed and lie down. When Arsene Wenger told me that, I said to myself, this man came, even when we done our podcast with him and he said, I came too late for you. He came too late for me, bro, because like, if I had Arsene Wenger like 20s and man said to me, you don't have to, because you should see me when I used to go to the hotels and that. I'd be in the hotel like making everything dark. Close my eyes hard like this.
Trying to sleep.
I have to sleep. I'm trying to sleep. Actually giving myself more anxiety because when I don't sleep, I'm worrying about not sleeping. And I was always
God.
Until I got to what I used to have to do is because I used to have to try to find if the snooker was on, I used to have the room really hot and it had to be dark. No light coming into anywhere in the room in the afternoon. And then I could try and go to sleep. But the room had to be roasting. And if you're sharing with somebody who doesn't like heat, then you got a problem. So then I had to start sharing. I had to start going on my own because I couldn't sleep. And then Arsene Wenger came when I was, 31, saying, no, man, you don't need to sleep. Just lie down
just
and
lie
rest.
Just lie down and rest.
Don't put the telly on because that's the thing what keeps your head, your mind's still working because it's watching something. It's doing something. I used to like watching the golf, snooker, and tennis. Because at the time it was tennis and it was the French Open some of the time, especially when we was on pre-season and the balls, the hitting of the balls. And because because the rallies were so long and then the snooker, it's the man's voice and then the chinking of the balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's calm. Yeah. Like, golf, like golf commentary is the best.
Those are the things I used to fall asleep to the point. In the end, I loved all three of those games.
Yeah.
I love all three of those because they make me relax and make me rest because you're going to watch something like Fast and Furious. You can't watch it.
Scarface.
Exactly.
What's that thing on, I'm going to sound like such an old person. What's that thing on YouTube? Is it ASMR? What's that thing where it's like.
Yes, I had to do one of
some crisps.
Yes. Yes, Jeanette. Do that voice again. Do that again, Jeanette. And it's just like people went crazy for that. I couldn't believe it.
That was
and
it.
And it's so relaxing. I loved it. I really did. I love that ASMR stuff. But yeah, man. The sleep thing and the guys going away and relaxing. The reason why I feel so good for them right now is because it's the kind of vibe that if I was playing that, I'd want to be doing that now.
Mm.
I wouldn't want to be in and around relegation kind of thing. And I always say to people, like if I'm doing punditry with somebody who's been in a relegation fight and then people start talking about it, I always say, yeah, man, what was that like, bro? Because I wasn't involved in it. What's it like? I said, what's it like, man, when you have to score a goal, when you have to score a goal?
Oh, my God.
You can miss a chance when you're trying to go for stuff at the top. But can you imagine after you're in a relegation fight and you're a striker and you're missing chances? You're not sleeping, bro. I'm just pleased. And I'll say that to the man. What's it like being in a relegation fight? And they said, shut your mouth.
Right? Do you know, you see you, Unks, here. You know how funny you are. What's the clip, Marwa, where he tells, is it Michael Owen you're telling? You can't come to that party. That's my favourite thing of all time.
The thing with Michael Owen, and I think to yourself, you see, Michael Owen could have finished me. But he's not thinking quick enough because they're talking about left foot and what you do with left foot. And I said, don't stop the argument because they can't even talk about it. How many chips you scored left foot? How many? None of them said anything. Man can't even come to the party. I said, you can't even come to this party, bro. And then Michael Owen, the man scored goals. He scored goals in World Cups. I saw him score a left foot goal against Barcelona. The man's got a Ballon d'Or. Man never used any of his ammunition.
He was stressed. You came for him too hard. He weren't expecting it. That's why.
I said, when the lights are bright, it does something to you, man. But
Michael could have finished me.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, Can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
I think we've got to give some smoke to Watford, because second the manager after seven games, then 13 games. You know, we were speaking about strikers, right? One striker I've been impressed with, even though, you know, he didn't come to AFCON, is Emmanuel Dennis. Like, you know, he's come from Bruges, scored goals, got assists. I think it was only him and Salah that were getting specific amount of like goals and assists at some point. And I thought to myself, a manager has someone scoring like this and you're just losing big games. Ranieri.
Yeah, but I'm going to go into Ranieri, but what he's done by not letting him go and all that foolishness. The juju, bro. They put it on him, bro. They put it on juju.
No, stop it.
Why? Nah, look at Watford. You know something? Can I just say,
I'm sorry,
with Ranieri, right? With Ranieri, it's the same thing what happened with Fulham. I think that Ranieri's problem is, I don't think he could pick up a team halfway through. And you know what I mean? I'm not even going to go into the Leicester and what I think about Nigel Pearson, who maybe could have done the same thing and stuff like that, because he's got to get credit for the fact that he guided that team to do it. But I think that that team was on the way with the players they had. Mm. Because you look at what he's done from Leicester to now, and even I'm sorry, man.
He's not been able to do it.
No, I don't see it, man. It's just like...
You think he's peaked then? You think he's peaked? He's done?
Absolutely. I think that, you know something? Man should have recognised 2016 ain't getting better than this. It ain't getting better than this for me. I'm
sorry. Start doing TED Talks.
But also,
after you achieve something like that, just do TED Talks. Like, that's it. Sell books.
Yeah.
Because there's no need to do anything afterwards. Like, you've done the unthinkable. You've done the biggest thing in football ever. Yeah. Why are you struggling?
What are you going for?
Fulham at Craven Cottage.
And then coming to their Watford.
Going to Vicarage Road.
But the thing about
with
Watford,
the Pozzo family.
I'm not being funny. This Watford, they just be firing managers anyhow. Like, just how many games did he have in charge? What, 15?
He had 13.
13 games.
The guy before him had seven in the Premier League.
Come on, guys. No, stop.
I think it's run out, Jeanette. I think that the way they're doing it and their philosophy on how they want the managers to work, and it's done. They've run out of managers. What, they got Roy Hodgson now?
Leave him alone, man.
Let him rest.
Let him rest, man.
Jeez, man. Roy. Like President Reagan said, just say no.
Just say no. Don't do it. Do you know, I had a lovely chat with Roy Hodgson a few weeks ago at an event. We sat down, was having dinner, and then we did a little on stage thing. And I'm like, oh, Roy, you're retired now. He was so happy. I said, what are you going to do? I was like, what are you going to do? Your garden? And he started laughing. He goes, no, I've got a flat, so I'm not going to be in my garden. And I was just like, he just wants to chill. He looks so content. Like, he's done. Mm. And now you're just dragging this poor man and his pension back onto the pitch.
You know, like, he's his agent.
He could have said no if he didn't want it, because obviously you can imagine bored. As well. He probably is bored, and he's one of those guys that he's been in football for so long that, you know, he should be somewhere. See, like how we see our Kenny Dalglish.
Yeah.
Kenny Dalglish is just there. Why can't Roy Hodgson be there at Palace every week as a Palace ambassador and just have, you know, go to the training ground? He could talk, do his stuff like that, but he's going to go in, what, till the end of the season and what, get the blighting of the Watford, like,
at 75 years old, you just want to just 75, you know what I mean? Just chill.
They're giving him Big Sam jobs, you know. Help us, rescue us, please.
No, it's enough.
You know, the thing is the way that club is run and the way they've done it, they've run out. That's done it. They've done it now. Mm. It's over.
They are more vibes than United. They are like the Pozzo family is the definition of vibes. In terms of the signings, who should we sign? I don't know. Is Danny Rose still about? Managers, just random vibes.
Just get him in.
Yeah, but
I just hope it goes well for Roy simply because of his reputation, because this isn't, whatever happens, I don't think it's going to turn out well for Watford. No, it can't be on him. It shouldn't be on him. It won't be on him.
I don't think he should go. I don't think he should go.
I think he should chill.
I think he should just chill.
You know what? I think Ranieri should have just said, you know something? No, man, I'm cool now, bro. I'm out. After Fulham, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not seeing it. In fact, all of his jobs after Leicester, not seen anything. It's not done anything. It's like a man sleepwalking through all those jobs. Sleepwalking through them.
Oh, no.
The team, you know, I mean, if you're a Watford player, just quickly before we move on, if you're a Watford player and the way it's gone in the, how many, is it 15 managers in 10 years? If you're there now, right, if you're there now and Ranieri comes in, is Ranieri the kind of manager that you as a Watford player is going to say, yeah, man, that's my manager for a while. I'm going to, you're not bothered. You think, yeah, I'll be gone soon. What kind of mindset is that? And they said he's going to be gone soon and he's gone.
But it's even worse because at any stage, it would have been crazy. But right now, where we're in the COVID era of football, where you're not getting many days of training and everything, there's games every other week. Like, he doesn't come across as the person that's going to come and galvanize me to, you know, start running through brick walls and everything. Because it's like, I know they just picked you at random. Like, I know they went onto like Google random name generator. You came like it's not gonna be sustainable. And then now I feel sorry for poor Roy. Like, don't get me wrong, I think the personalities in the change room and his previous history of, you know, of making sure that teams can be solid in the Premier League could be beneficial.
On a short-term one. This ain't short-term.
Short-term. It'd be the end of the season.
Where's Sam Allardyce at the minute?
That's what I'm saying. No, but that's it.
Nah, man. I think he's got a couple more jobs left in him, right? No, come on.
I think they're done with Sam.
I think after the West Brom one, I think they said, yeah, he ain't got the juice in
him. Man
got the
juice
done.
Big Sam. Oh.
Oh, gosh. But we were speaking about, you know, Arsenal before, right?
Yes.
You know. We have to discuss, you know. We'd have to discuss. There's always balance. Like, whenever we think Arsenal, you know, is going negative, there's always positives to look at. Toby Heath.
Yes.
The one positive of the Arsenal women at the minute, though, I'm not going to lie. Like, the whole squad at the minute is
That's a big positive, though.
Big weekend as well, this, what just went. It's a big weekend, decisive. But, like, just quickly on that that finish, again, I was mentioning finishing earlier on. And that is where you see elite finishing in the latter stages of a game. The way the ball came to her. And when you watched her, she was ready at every moment. Because remember, that ball was pinballing, bro. It was and then when it came, you know what I mean? She out of your feet, clinical, basic technique.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it comes down to. That's where you want the ball to drop to your quality players in the moments. You said it earlier on, Jeanette. It's moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in moments of the game where you say, and then you hear the commentator, and who would you want it to drop to? Hey, Tomini, bam, she finishes it. Because that's what the quality players do. But like, I thought that game, the City game, Jeanette, the incident, when no one could tell me that Lucy Bronze wasn't trying to pass it to Caroline Weir. It hits the referee and it goes to Stokes. It goes to Demi Stokes. I think they should stop it.
They should have stopped the game. But the rules are, if it goes from player to player of the same team, you keep it moving. Assist from the referee, even.
You know what they say, and that for me, that rule needs to be changed simply because it benefited them for the ball going to Demi Stokes, because she's in a position where she passes it then to Lauren Hemp. Who rips our right back to shreds, to be honest.
Yeah, to be honest. She just dealt with that.
But then, you know what I mean? You think to yourself, that doesn't happen.
No. It wasn't. I agree. The ref should have stopped it. But those are the rules. And sometimes those kind of rules, they need to be looked at and just say, okay, basic common sense. Everyone's looking and thinking, okay, legit, that should not have happened. It happened. It's affected the game. There's a goal off the back. Now what? Do you know what I mean? I feel that that's super important. Yeah. Like, why ignore that? Do you know what I mean? And I don't want it to be a thing of whereby, oh, it's a lower level game or it's a women's game, so no one really is taking any notice or paying any attention. But sometimes it does feel like that. Like, you know, you have the power and the agency to change the rules. Yeah. So do it, because you can see it affect the game.
Remember, the referees are still semi-pro.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got to give them some leeway. But at the same time, because it's such a prominent game and it's such a high profile game on Sky and everything like that, people will look at that and say, oh my God, incompetence. The fact is that they've got to make sure that those things don't happen, especially in those games. I think that the fourth official lately tried to call her over to say to her, listen, that. But then she let it go on and out. When you look at the games that's coming up, Jeanette,
mm-hmm.
like with Arsenal, Chelsea, City, United. So Arsenal got United and Chelsea at home. Chelsea got to play all the top four, I think. City got to play Chelsea United. United got Arsenal City. So it's the next couple of weeks.
Listen,
we're going to see exactly what's happening. I think Villa have taken themselves away from the any kind of it's Birmingham and Leicester now, didn't it?
You think so? They're going to go down?
I think so. Yeah.
Birmingham
think,
for sure.
I think it's Birmingham and Leicester. Yeah, I think for sure. Yeah. But then, but they beat Arsenal.
Yeah, but then also it's what's going on behind the scenes, and I can't believe that they beat Arsenal, but I can believe they beat Arsenal as well at the same time because going into Christmas. I don't know what was happening, but everything just like the wheels just fell apart. And I thought it cannot be the fact that Lee is not around that all of a sudden the glue is just dissolving. And now she's back. I'm a bit like, okay, we need to get back into this a little bit better, a little bit faster. But what you're seeing with teams like, look at United, look what they're doing. United are on the way
say,
back.
You didn't expect
no,
that.
No, I wasn't expecting it at all. Like, Manchester United are coming back.
Do you
and
reckon
they're
United
really
might
well.
Run out of gas if they don't have reinforcements coming? Because it's going to be a tricky few weeks. And
I don't know.
They didn't expect to be here and they're doing really well. And some of them, 5-0, 3-0 recently.
They're
but,
playing good games and they're playing good games and they've got a really good manager in Mark Skinner. Like. So for them, what they're able to do and come forward, Mark's got the experience to make sure that actually the players are going to be as fresh as they can be when they come up against the teams.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at City now and their squad is pretty much back, man. Like, look at their back line. Your Steph's back. Who else is back?
Yeah, we've got to mention, they're all back. I think, so it was Lucy Bronze.
Lucy's back, Steph's back.
Demi Stokes back.
Yeah, they're all back.
They kind of got their team back. We've got to mention Kiara Keating, 17.
I know, in goal. Oh,
it was so sweet. Amazing. You saw her do some stuff where you think, but she you know, I'm going to give her a mention because I think she should get a mention at 17.
Tahivi's performances, there were sort of performances where, you know, when you look at the back line and you see the back line's anxious because they're uncertain about if a chance goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, you saw a difference where they were a bit more confident, which is, credit for a 17-year-old because it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing at all to do. 17. Going into...
We've got to mention as well Millie Turner, man, because Millie Turner with her injury in the neck, she's been taken... It's not, and the thing what people don't understand with something like that, I think that she's somebody that had a good chance of maybe trying to break into the England squad.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to get that kind of injury, I think she's got a problem with something to do with her neck, Jeanette.
Okay.
And the thing with that is that he's still keeping her involved, Skinner, like she's doing in the huddle and stuff like that, but she can't play. And those kind of injuries where it's not contact, it's not something you've done when you're playing, it's just something that's come in and you don't know when the end goal or end game is for it. You just think to yourself, that is just so unlucky. And I just wanted to mention Millie Turner to make her understand, just got to keep going. Hopefully that can work out for us simply because those are the kind of injuries you've got no control over. You don't know when it's going to end and you just want to play football.
Yeah. Did she get flowers then, righty? Because it's...
I'm going to give her some flowers as well because I wanted to give Trent some flowers because of... I read something the other day. Where is it? With Trent. And then we'll blast through the roundup of these women's games. But look, so 50 Premier League players have 4 progressive passes from open play per 90 minutes, right? So it says 21 players have 5, 5 players have 6, 2 players have 7, no players have 8, 9 or 10, Trent Alexander-Arnold has 11.
Wow.
Guys, he's just insane.
Okay.
He's gone. He's just insane.
Okay.
He's Elon Musk. Insane. He's Jeff Bezos. He's gone.
He's gone
in space.
He's in space.
He's gone. He's gone somewhere. He's got to get flowers and I'm going to give a nice little bunch of flowers to Millie Turner as well. But just quickly on the roundup. So Man United, when they beat Spurs 3-0, I think Spurs, I think Spurs are kind of out of it in respect of trying to go for the top now. I don't think they're going to make it Spurs.
No.
I think Chelsea need to liven up, Jeanette. I don't know what's happened to them.
That was Marwa.
I thought she should have started.
What happened to your team?
Yeah, why didn't she start Beth England, man?
I don't know. We've been saying this for so long. It's like you would think, with Sam away, like Beth England should be eaten. But I don't know. It's a really weird one.
Especially going into the World Cup, she's got to be playing. Why is she playing?
We mentioned it. At first we said
Sam
goes
away.
Sam's away. Yep. She's at the Asia Cup, right?
You'd expect Beth to be, because one thing that she knows how to do, she knows how to score goals, that she's always shown that she can score a goal. So I don't know, but with you always have to trust that Emma's got a plan. Maybe that she's not 100% or she wants her to have this fire in her belly for the next game. You can never write Emma and that Chelsea team off because when it comes to squeaky bum time, they typically manage.
And Emma knows what she's doing.
Yeah, she does know what she's doing. What I saw, again, chances, and Emma said it, you have to take chances. But what you're seeing as well is that, you know, normally Chelsea... I'd say even a couple of years ago, Chelsea blast these teams. You know what I mean? Yeah. They'll get blasted. Like Arsenal would blast Birmingham. You know what I mean? Like the teams like that, they'd be blasting the Reddings. It's not happening. We're slowly seeing the levels, man. It's
the league's leveling out.
Yeah, 100%. That's what's needed. To make it competitive, this is what was needed, I mean, for sure.
It's brilliant.
The testament of it was before the season even started, we said three horse title race.
Mm.
We were like, no one's blasting away. It's not just going to be City and Chelsea. What did we see? City fell away early.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal were running away. Yeah. And even now, it's leveling up. People are quietly saying, could United go and win? And it shows you it's leveling out. And that's, you know, that's credit to all the coaches up and down the country, you know, development levels, the investment that's gone in, because
that's what they've got to focus on, the development levels and stuff like that. Mm. I still feel as well that that we can still get even better coaches in and around in their games.
100%.
We're starting to see the rise. I was quite pleased for Villa because I could see Villa doing some good stuff.
Yeah.
Villa doing some good stuff. I thought so unlucky Leicester. Leicester really needed something out of that. Like I said, I think they're gone. And Reading Birmingham, 3-2. That was a brilliant... Oh my gosh, what a good game.
Good game.
What a good game. West Ham, I was quite pleased to see West Ham beat Everton because I think when we done the Righty's House, you know, the live Righty's House when Emma was on it, I remember the Jean-Luc Vassia, the manager of Everton, I'm thinking, I don't know, come from Lyon. And I done a face like this. I'm not sure, man. I want to see more because like he was at Lyon.
They're that good. They were that good.
And like they have not moved a bit on from Kirk.
Yeah.
They've not moved on from him. And like the men's team, they've kind of made some signings and doing some stuff, but they seem like whoever's doing the men's stuff guessing what they're doing. I think they're doing the same with the women.
Just stuck.
I think that Everton have just gone for the shiniest thing they could see. That's what they've done.
They're 10th at the minute
they should be doing better than they're doing. So you know something, I can't wait for the next couple of weeks because we're going to see a lot of movement up there. I think Villa's safe. I think Birmingham and Leicester. I think Leicester got a worry. Sorry, Emil. And Birmingham. I think Birmingham have got a worry.
Mm.
Both of them two have got a worry. But I feel we're going to start seeing some proper movement in and around.
Especially at the top.
What do you reckon at the top?
Well, I'm hoping that Arsenal can do it, don't I? But
Chelsea got a couple games in hand, though.
Two on United, one on Arsenal.
We'll see because all of them are playing each other and all that stuff. So we're going to see some nice movement.
It's going to be like a Royal Rumble.
So I'll see you soon, Jins. I'll see you in the group. I'll see you in the group chat.
Is Mywell allowed back in there still?
Yeah, man. Mywell's got to be in there, man. Because where are we going to get the entertainment from?
Jeez. Love you guys.
Listen, I love you, sister. Take it easy.
Speak soon.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you very much to Jeanette Kwashi. Thank you very much, Miyawa Quadri. Hope everybody's having a good week. Have a good week until next week. And I hope your team wins, whoever your team is. Good luck.